This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, hello there, buddy. How you doing?
Oh, just perfect. Perfect peachy keen. Yeah, right.
Got any hidden documents?
Yeah, I do. I have hidden documents from when I was a county commissioner, you know, talking about garbage fees and dump fees and stuff like that. I thought they'd, you know, be useful. I could bribe somebody sometime. Yeah.
They haven't come and got them yet, eh?
No, they haven't. And so if you're listening, come arrest me.
Isn't that something?
I know. Oh, well, such is life in the big city, eh? But this is a garden show.
Yes,
and
yes.
And you can have all the notes that I have, and I've got piles of them. But at any rate, this is about plant information, landscape ideas, things that you can do with your yard, things to look for, what you can anticipate, you know, how's the weather going to treat whatever you do, that kind of thing. And, of course, you know, today is that beautiful day with all the fog has been sitting here, and it's ice cold outside, so I know you want to run out and do some weeding. So we can talk about that, too.
What do you mean? It's only 34. It's
that's warm enough. You just make sure you got a long-sleeve shirt on.
Yeah, that's true, with a Seahawks sweatshirt.
Yeah, right. But if you have a question about your lawn or garden or anything concerning trees, shrubs, ground covers, you can call 672-4464. Get on the air and ask your question, and we bat around some answers and see what fits you, okay?
Sounds good.
Yeah, this is the local government speaking. But today I'm going to twist your head a little bit. I'm going to talk about cactus for a while. I don't know that I've ever given any good time to cactus, but... you know, I was reading some interesting things about cactus, and they're a real interesting plant. And I got a few at home that they're indoors. I mean, we don't put them out. They might survive. I don't know, but they're kind of weird. They're kind of different. And when you least expect it, they'll bloom, and they'll have these beautiful blooms on them. And you go, "Wow, that came out of that! What's going on?"
Don't dare to pick it.
No, you don't. You don't dare to touch it or nothing. That's what makes them nice.
Don't mess with me.
But anyway, cactus are really tough plants in the right place, of course. You know, like in the hot, dry desert regions of our world. But there are some that grow in cooler climates like Douglas County. I mean, I see in different yards that I've been to over the years that I'll see some sort of a cactus growing in one of their beds. I'll say, "Does that live all year?" And it's just, does good, and the snow didn't hurt it, and this didn't hurt it. And I'm thinking, And I said, "What's the name of it?" They don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a cactus guy.
It's kind of like that vine I have.
It's probably a cactus.
Yeah, it could be, without the thorns.
Without the thorns, you know. But, you know, they're quite rare here in the Pacific Northwest, except when, they're in a pot next to a sunny window in a warm house, you know, and then you can put them on the patio, about April or May when all the frost is over, and they'll do well. But like I say, there are some of them that live out there 365 days a year and don't even miss a trick. They just keep on growing. But I don't know the names of them, and I was trying to do the research and get some of these names, but it's very, you know, there's this long list in one of my plant books, and a long list, but there's no picture, and they don't have the information that I'm looking for. What's wrong with them? I don't know. But
they Google it.
Oh, yeah, I Google it all the time, right. But if you got them in a pot and you have them in the house, which we have some of ours in the house, in fact, all of them that we have are in the house, but by a big window that gets a lot of light, and, you know, it's always like, you know, 68, 70 degrees, something like that. So they're in good shape. They grow, and they do like that sunshine. They don't do well in shade a lot. There might be some shady ones. And further on down here, I found some that actually grow in jungles. Who can figure? But normally they don't do well in cold, rainy weather. So that's it. But they have a very thick skin, which reduces evaporation. And that's why they don't need a whole lot of water, and they can grow in the tough tough places.
Oh, it stays inside.
Yeah. And they can store water for the dry time. So they're whatever moisture they do get, if it's like this kind of weather, they don't have to use it, I guess. And then when it gets to be 90 or above, they have that water already stored within their cell structure, and so consequently they're good to go. You know, they don't even blink.
that's amazing.
I mean, they are. They're an amazing plant. And, you know, the spines that, if you ever grabbed a cactus, oh, boy. Yeah, I did that by mistake once or twice, you know, thinking I had got a clear spot and little tiny vines, spikes coming out. And you go, ah, yeah.
You didn't sit on it, did you?
No way. No way. And now these guys, they can be small, like a succulent, or you can find them in the desert and they'll grow up to 50 feet tall.
Wow.
You know, the succulents, you'll see they're kind of like a ground cover cactus. And they just hug the ground and kind of crawl around. In fact, on one landscaping job I did here probably 5 or 6 years ago, they were from the San Bernardino area, I believe. And so there's cactus or parts of the landscape down there. So I got what I thought was the toughest one, and I put it in a small planter for them. It's still alive.
Oh, is it?
It's still alive. And I'm thinking, man, okay. Well, last time I looked at it, and I haven't seen it probably for 6 months, but, you know, some people really like cactus, especially those in Arizona, New Mexico, and parts of Texas, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's part of their life.
Yeah. And I'm like the average size, you know, 50 feet tall. You think, well, that is a cactus. But the tallest one recorded was 78 feet tall.
Jeez.
But it's not alive anymore for whatever reason.
Was it in China?
No, it was in Arizona.
Oh.
And it was blown over in a windstorm. So it was so tall. Really, it was so tall that they must have had a, you know, super wind come through there and, you know, one of these storms, and boom, there it went. It just couldn't take it.
Kind of like an old rotten tree.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was the tallest cactus recorded in America, at least. So, I don't know. Now, these large ones that I'm talking about what are basically in Arizona, New Mexico, parts of Texas, and maybe Southern California. They can weigh up to 6 tons.
Ooh, my Lord.
You know, the real big ones, and you know they might have a diameter of say 14 to 16 inches or something like that when they're that big,
yeah.
And you think, wow, nothing can hurt those guys, except a great big wind. Yeah, but in 1982, there was a man who was shooting at a giant cactus.
Oh.
Yeah, he was having target practice at a giant cactus. And I guess he shot it so many times, a 500-pound limb of the cactus broke off and fell on him and crushed the man to death.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, death by cactus. So you don't mess with cactus, okay? Yeah, he did. And also, down in the Sonora Desert, which is basically the Arizona desert, you can't steal them. They won't let you steal them because they have tracking devices installed in some of them in the Sonora Desert. And like I say, it runs through, well, Arizona and parts of California on the Arizona-California border. But the specimens that they have, you know, there's parks and state parks with cactus in them, of course, and there's some that are, you know, very large and been there for hundreds of years. They put tracking devices inside the cactus. I don't know how. They didn't explain that. And so if you try to steal one of them puppies, they're going to track you down and get you. What's the charge? Stealing cactus. Oh, okay, but lock him up.
Put it back.
Yeah, you lock him up. Yeah, you can't do that. But and the oldest cactus ever recorded was a 300-year-old saguaro cactus, and it was, and they had a name for it. They called him Old Granddaddy. Okay. Yeah, okay, that's appropriate.
And is that here in the U.S. as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is all U.S. information, basically, like I say, out of that Arizona region. And it was over 40 feet tall, but, you know, 300 years old?
Uh-huh. Good Lord.
Yeah. And you know, the arms, you know, you with the big tall cactus, you got the arms and stuff. And they recorded that it had more than 52 arms on it. Yeah. Yeah. And the arms don't start growing on the saguaro until it's around 70 years old. So there's a straight up and down cactus. And then, you know, when it's 70, it starts putting out its arms. You know,
growing,
yeah. Oh boy, I'm gonna put out an arm today, baby. And then there's the smallest cactus in the world, is called the Blosfeldia liputana. You know, boy, and it grows in southern Bolivia.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I knew it was a Spanish.
It had to be. You know, I had a hard time with that word. When I was practicing Blosfeldia.
Blosfeldia,
Liliputana. Okay. Well, you don't want to say that time 10 times real fast,
no,
okay?
No.
Yeah.
Kyle.
Yeah. But that small cactus is only like 12 to 16 millimeters across, and it's no bigger than your fingertip. That's how small it is. Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, most cactus grow in the desert. This is found near waterfalls with continuous water running over the top of them. Now, I don't know how they get from the desert to the waterfall, but this one does. And
like a weed.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, and it's, I found it strange because the vast majority of cactus are desert plants.
Right.
And
right.
Why? I thought one of the characteristics of a cactus would be that it grows in a hot, dry climate. And but this one, like, it's growing underwater. I read that a few more times. I think growing under a waterfall, and it's in constant water all the time, running on it. So I don't know what the heck it does. But
does it have the little thorns too?
I don't. Well, it's only as big around as your little finger.
Well, it couldn't have much.
No, it couldn't have, unless one big thorn coming out of the top or something.
Top of it,
yeah. But they recorded over 2,000 species of cactus, so there's a lot to choose from there. You know,
yes.
I mean,
yeah.
And they really have a worldwide distribution, and just different. You know, different, the one that I just talked about, the water one, it grows in Bolivia. Nowhere else, just Bolivia.
Hmm. Yeah. There's something in the water.
Yeah, apparently. Oh, boy. But, you know, here in the Pacific Northwest, there are some tough cactus, however you want to say it, that can grow outside and survive outside, even if it snows and it's freezing weather and all that. But if you really... you know, don't know much about cactus. I don't. It's probably better to keep them indoors in the winter and then put them out in the deck or the porch in the summer and let them grow, let them get some fresh air, that kind of stuff. Leave them alone. Don't mess with them. Don't touch them. Don't pet them.
You only do that once.
Yeah, once. You don't throw them at one another, you know, that kind of thing. And you can find them in nurseries or in yard sales. It's amazing. I've been to yard sales, and they'll have lawnmowers and coffee cups and shoes and, you know, yard sale. And all of a sudden, you'll go down there on one of the tables to have some cactus for sale. A little cactus plant in the pot. And you go, what? But and it's not just been once. I've seen that repeated. I don't go to a lot of
right.
them.
I was gonna say, I need to get out.
You do. Enjoy the ambiance of the local yard sale community.
Only in Douglas County.
Yeah, right. But you can also find them at, like, Saturday Market. You've been to these Saturday markets that are around here.
Yeah.
You know, there's always a booth or two with some plants in it. And normally there's always a cactus plant or two in that booth.
Uh-huh.
You know? So, it's, like I say, they're probably the indoor type. They won't make it out here in the snow, but... there they are. So,
well, be darned. I was going to tell you just briefly here before we go to a break.
Yes.
I had a cactus one time. I got it from my friend who lived in San Francisco at the time. I brought it up here. Oh, it survived several years, but it eventually died.
Mm-hmm.
I think I watered it.
You can, except the one that lives in the waterfall.
Yeah, and it just slowly just kind of rolled.
Yeah, kind of softened up, yeah. And yeah, that's over water.
It grew a little bit,
yeah.
But then it just kind of said, that's enough.
Yeah, you can pretty much ignore them. You know, water them on Christmas Day or something like that.
Yeah.
And then again on the 4th of July, and you're probably safe.
Two or three times.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's 672-4464.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right. We're talking cactus today on the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show.
Well, not all day. I mean,
no.
we're gonna switch horses here in a little bit, but I thought it was interesting, and I hadn't talked about cactus for a while. And, you know, what's her name that used to work over in the...
Ricky.
Ricky. She used to have cactus plants on her windowsill there.
Yes.
Yeah, and she had a pretty good nursery going over there with all her plants. And
you wouldn't want to bump into it.
No. And I said, well, what is this? And she knew, and she told me, and blah, blah, blah.
I think you did a show with her one time.
Yeah, over in the other room there. And she talked, I don't know if she talked cactus or... just indoor plants, and I mean, she got on a roll, and I just let her go.
Yeah, that gal could talk.
Oh yeah, she was a good talker.
Yes,
but what she was saying about her plants was good information.
Mm-hmm.
So she had some knowledge there on how to take care of things, and
right, it wasn't all hot air. So
no, it wasn't just making it up in the
as you go
in the atmosphere here. Well, and anyway, I was talking about where do you find cactus? Well, you probably find them at the box stores. They'll have, you know, two or three, maybe more, sitting on one of their shelves.
Yeah.
But they're usually, you know, protected this time of year. They're not outdoor. They're kind of under roof and, you know, right next to the building. And then the
are they very expensive or does it?
Yeah, they are.
Are they
for such a small plant? But they're so they're so slow growing that. And you take care of them for so many years to get them up, you know, 4 or 5, 6 inches tall or whatever.
Yeah.
You got time and all that into it. So that's, I guess that's why, I don't know, but you can go down the Sonoran Desert and get one with one of those, little
trapping devices
in the bark, and they can chase you down and they can tell you all that information.
Oh
gosh. Now, cactus flowers, if you've ever seen a flowering cactus, and all of them will flower not like a regular, like a rose bush or anything like that, but occasionally they'll pop a flower out, and they're beautiful. They're usually, I've seen them like oranges and yellows, and I mean, but really vivid yellow or orange, or I've never seen a red cactus flower. I'm sure there might be, but... the ones I have seen are like orange, yellow, and that kind of range there.
Yeah.
And they're very colorful, make a nice house plant. If you have a big window somewhere and you want a plant there, cactus would be a pretty one. It'd be an easy one. You wouldn't have to do anything to it.
True.
Admire it and then say, oh my gosh, it's Christmas, I better water it. You know.
I think the one I had, if I recall, had one flower at one time. It was kind of white.
Yeah.
And maybe a little orange thing in the middle.
Yeah. Well, when I was doing research on cactus, I was amazed at how many varieties there were listed in the book. And I went, wow. And they just a list of names, and I didn't know.
Yeah.
The barrel cactus I was familiar with, but any of the others were exotic things that I'd never even heard of. So
they're just something in the desert that has thorns.
Yeah. I mean, and they'll get you if you don't.
Oh, Lord.
If you don't watch out. But, you know, when they're blooming, they look good. You can, like I say, you can have them in the house, have them on the patio, and enjoy them. And not many bugs or birds or animals is going to mess with them.
No.
You would call that...
suicide?
Well, no. But, you know, deer-proof, creature-proof.
Mm. Yep.
You know, maybe there's some small little bugs that we don't know about that, like cactus here. But I don't know.
I think a cockroach would stay away from it.
I would say so, yeah. But in a pot, when, you know, people put things in a pot, plant them in a very sandy, well-drained type of soil. It's got to drain quickly because you can overwater a cactus in a week. You know, you think,
another mistake I made.
My brand new cactus needs a drink here, and then Wednesday my cactus needs a drink there, and on Friday the cactus is shriveled up because you drowned that puppy. You know, but well drained, sandy kind of a mix. Nothing that is heavy or not well draining, like. Yard dirt, okay? especially clay. And then you...
mistake I made.
Yeah, there you go.
Boy, that thing didn't have a chance.
You ruined it right off the bat, man. But and you can fertilize them. I don't know if there are specific fertilizers for cactus, but you would want to get a well-balanced, kind of a low-grade percentage-wise fertilizer. And be very, very light on your fertilization, maybe, you know, once or twice a year or something like that. But if you're growing it and it's been around for a while and you've watched it and you're paying attention, you kind of get the feel for, oh, it needs water or it needs to be fertilized. And you know, just from your experience there, you can keep them alive. My mother-in-law, oh, gosh. She had, Christmas cactus. Everybody knows what a Christmas cactus is with the blooms, and it's hanging mm-hmm. cactus type thing. She had one in the spare room where the dry cleaner, the vacuum cleaner and all the odds and ends in the house kind of ended up in there. And nobody hardly went in there except to get something and get it out. But this Christmas cactus that she had, I think she had two of them, but this one was huge and it was gorgeous. And it was always in the dark in there, except there was a little light that came in the window. And they got maybe an hour of morning sun. And the rest of the day was dark. Or when she walked in and turned on the light to get some.
Yeah.
But and it was the most gorgeous thing. And I thought, I said, Mary, can I get a cutting from you? And she said, she gave me a little start. I think I killed it within, 2 months.
Now I don't feel so bad.
No, I mean, and I felt her soil in her pot. It was like the dust of the Sahara Desert.
Oh, Lord.
I said, how often you water it? Oh, whenever it needs it. I said, yeah, but how often is that? Oh, I don't know. I just look at it. And, she had it for, 15, 20 years, something like that.
All by itself in that.
Yeah, in that room. And then I think they had one out in their backyard in a hanging basket, hanging from one of their apple trees and for the summer. And then they would put it back in the back room again.
Did that one survive?
Yeah, it was always beautiful. She had the she had was born in Elko, Nevada, in the desert out there, and they had cactus out there, and she was a plant lady. She knew what to do with plants, and she didn't read any books. She wasn't an educated flower person or anything like that. She was self-educated.
Mm-hmm. And the best kind.
The best kind. And she had stuff growing, indoor plants all over her house. And I'd ask her a question to try to learn something from her.
Mm-hmm.
And she'd give me these vague answers, whenever it needs it, or, once in a while. Or,
maybe on Monday.
Yeah, Monday every other year. I don't know. And then she'd laugh at me, and I'd go, oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing you don't want to do is overwater a cactus, except if you get the waterfall cactus.
In Bolivia.
Yeah, right. Now, the flip side is called an orchid cactus, and it grows in the jungle. Now, everything else has been growing in the deserts of the world.
Right, right.
Well, this one grows in the jungle where it's, like, damp, cool, shady, and... it's nowhere near the desert, and they grow on tree branches.
branches.
Yeah, they somehow, yeah, on the branches of the existing trees in the particular forest that they're living.
Kind of like moss.
Yeah. And they bloom. I mean, they bloom all the time.
Huh.
I mean, they're just, I'm thinking, whoa, orchid cactus, huh? I've never seen one, I don't think. And of course, in a pot, they need a very sandy, fast draining soil. And as a rule, they talked about this one. Water once or twice or two times a week in the summer. And I thought, man, depends on the size of the pot and
Hot it is, I would assume.
Yeah, and how hot it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, partial shade in the summer and no frost in the winter is going to give you a good plant that you're not going to be a slave to and worry about it going to croak here if I don't give it a shot of water.
Yeah.
But when you're buying cactus, a lot of the larger ones are fairly expensive. Start with something small. So, you know, you can go to one of the box stores and find something on sale for, you know, $5 or $4 bucks or whatever. And try that and see how you are at growing cactus before you invest any big bucks into something really nice.
Your lottery money.
Yeah, right. and just kind of get the feel of how that growing before you graduate to the next level. And when cactus are blooming, the colors, like I said, are fantastic. And the flowers will come in, some of them be white, cream, pink, rose, lavender, excuse me, scarlet, and orange. Those are all the different kinds of colors that you'll have on cactuses flowering.
That's a variety there.
Yeah. I'd love to get I'm going to look around, but I'd love to get a picture book on cactus with good color photos so I can see these different, flowers, you know, what size, what color, how orange, or, you know, that would be a good
one. Just don't leave it laying around here.
I won't, don't worry.
Did you ever find that book?
Yes, I did.
Where was it?
It was on my bookshelf at home. My wife was cleaning the bookshelf, and it was stuffed. All the other books are straight up and down. Well, this was stuffed sideways in the top there, and it wasn't real visible.
Yeah.
But since she was dusting and cleaning, she said, oh, by the way, I found this in the bookshelf. I said, oh, man, thank you. No. I thought that one was lost.
After he accused all of us here.
Oh, well, yeah, I was bringing charges against you.
And on that note,
yeah,
it's break time.
Okay, we'll be back.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. And the phone number, Mike.
672-4464 is the phone number. It's right here. Ask a question.
It's the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Alrighty. Obviously, we're back.
We are back. And I've been talking about cactus, and obviously I don't know a lot about them, but they're kind of interesting plants, and you know, you can always try one and see how you like it.
And they kind of look like they've been from the dinosaur age.
Exactly, yeah. And some of them come with dinosaurs.
Do they?
Yeah, you get a two-for-one special there.
T-Rex.
Yeah, T-Rex. But an interesting thing the other day,
yeah.
My daughter in, where is she? In
Texas.
Yeah, somewhere, that one. But for some reason, she sent my wife a picture on her phone, and there was snow falling on cactus-filled hillsides in Arizona.
In Arizona.
Oh, it wasn't a lot, but the cactus. Yeah. They were the big, tall cactus, you know, with the big arms and stuff
like that
I was talking about earlier. And you could actually see the snow in the photo.
That must have been.
It wasn't deep or anything, but it was snowing on the cactus. Man, oh man, they are.
That
tough.
Must have looked weird.
It did. Okay, yeah, it was a few miles from Phoenix, Arizona.
Mm.
Yeah, and all the cacti had smiles on their face, you know.
Yeah.
But
they're enjoying the snowflakes.
Yeah, they were. So now in the real world of Douglas County, in the fog and the dark and the damp.
back at the ranch.
It's bare root tree season, boys and girls out there. We got them in stock there at the nursery, even though I don't own the nursery anymore. I'm still hanging around helping the new owner.
Well, that's kind of.
And she's ready to deal with anybody that comes in. In fact, my daughter Jill still works there, and she waits on most of the customers that come in. But we went up. I took the new owner up to a big nursery up north here a week ago and introduced her to the people that grow the bare root trees. And we got the tour of the whole place, and she really got excited about them. And we stuck, I think, I forget how many trees we stuck in the back of my truck, my big white truck.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, man. I mean, they were stacked like cordwood. And, they're, you know, since they don't have any leaves on them, you know, and the roots are bare, no pots. So, and they're all banded together, and you put them in. But we put a tarp on them, and about halfway to Roseburg, from Eugene to Roseburg, the tarp was shredding, you know.
Sure, yeah.
But it was a cold day, so they're not, you know, not being harmed, but... They're all put away in the in their sawdust bins now, and they're looking good. And we are, I think we got over 100 in stock at this point. So
nice.
They're all waiting for new homes, and in fact, Jill sold six of them today. Most of what we sell, we got fruit trees, flowering trees, and shade trees, and we sell more fruit trees on a bare root basis than we do of the other kind. But because people are they're interested in eating, you know. Okay. But we have you know, semi-dwarf fruit trees, and they're the yard size, if you will. You don't want to get a full meal deal fruit tree, or you're going to be pruning it an awful lot.
Oh, man.
You have to prune the semi-dwarf as well, but they're not as vigorous, if you will, and they don't get as large and
right,
and
that's
tall.
What I was thinking. Yeah,
so. But, you know, bare root tree season, you can buy a tree for about half the price of a potted tree anytime, you know, when something is potted. Because you got the pot, you got the labor, you got the soil, you got, you know, the fertilizer and the care for it and all that. So the price is, you know, about twice what a bare root tree is.
Mm.
So it's a good bargain thing. And these are, you know, A1 quality trees. I've been buying bare root trees from this nursery for probably 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And They're great people. They grow great trees, and it's called Eugene Wholesale Nursery, by the way, in case you want to look it up. And Clyde is the owner, and Kevin is the son. And Clyde, I met Clyde when he was when we were both young men.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Good, don't.
Because I'm right there with you.
Oh gosh. But they're good-looking trees. They're well-branched, and like I say, they're dormant, no leaves, no growth. They're easy to handle. You can pick them up. You can pick up two or three, and they don't weigh all that much because there's no pot full of dirt and soil. And you can throw them in the back of the truck and take them home and get them planted.
Nice.
But I would recommend, and this is what I try to tell folks, is dig your holes first so that when you get the trees home, just in case you get waylaid by something else, the holes are already dug, and you can get them in. The quicker you get them in the ground, the sooner they begin to settle in and root out. So
yeah,
even though they're dormant now, it's good to get them in as quickly as possible, and you know, it's just good.
I was telling you about that tree I saw on the side of the road in Sutherland there.
Yeah.
It was one of those bare root ones, right out of the pot, and it's just somebody just threw it off to the side in the field.
Yeah, well, these have never been in a pot that I'm.
Oh,
about.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, they're field grown trees, and
right.
they have got a special tractor device that goes along and kind of undercuts them, and then the guys that come behind pull them out.
Gently.
Yeah, I mean, but the cutter cuts the roots and, you know, the tap root or anything like that. So they come out of the ground easy. There's no damage to them. And that's what's good about it.
I was just wondering if that poor old tree was still alive there.
It might be. I mean, this is January, and it's cold, so it's not growing or anything.
No, and it's
you ought to stop and take a look at it. Bring it in.
I would if I had a truck.
Is it that big?
Well, it's... too big for my Kia.
Why?
Well, it looked pretty not real tall, but...
Well, can't you put the front seat down and lay it in the front seat and give it room?
Maybe.
You could prune the top and do it.
Branches maybe.
And then we could have a tree auction.
There you go.
This one may live or not, but we're taking bids starting at $200.
It doesn't have a leaf on it.
Yeah, it's bare root. Yeah. Oh, gosh. But bare root trees, you can get, five fruit trees for, $150. And five fruit trees potted up would cost you $300.
Wow, I'm going to go grab that baby.
Well, I think you should, man. It might not be any good, but you can grab it. But bare root season goes from like January to mid-March, depending on the weather. If mid-March all of a sudden is coming on 75, 80 degrees, we try to get them potted up before then. You got to play the weather by ear. And so what's left over after the bare root season is done gets potted up, and then we kind of set them back in the back part of the nursery. We don't sell them until they fully root out in the pot, and that means the leaves come out and it looks good, it looks healthy, and that it's settled in, and by June, July, you can bring them up front and they're ready to go, and you have them all summer.
They're
going
to be ready to rock.
Right, they're ready to go. So, but I have in the past, and I think I might have spoken about this one other time. I had a job from a client years ago. He wanted an orchard, and he wanted 48 trees in his orchard, and gave me the list. And I still had bare root trees healed in sawdust, and it was. Really, I'm thinking it's too late for these bare root trees, but what am I going to do with them? And blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking all these thoughts. So what I did is I pulled out his trees and I put them in the back of my truck and I covered them with bark mulch, all the root systems with bark mulch. Then I ran the hose in there for about 15 minutes and soaked them down. My truck was leaking water all the way to the job. But we had had guys digging the holes, and so I just drove my truck up through the orchard lane there and popped one out from the bark, put it in, and we planted 48 trees for him, and every one of them lived.
Wow.
Every one of them lived.
100%.
100%, yeah.
Nice.
And they produced fruit in the whole nine yards. So if you do it, if you just a little bit of caution and pay attention to the roots not drying out, they're going to make it. I mean, they
want to grow.
Yes, they want to live. They don't want to curl up on the burn pile, okay? But, digging the holes is important. You don't want to cramp the roots. You want those roots to fit comfortably with space to grow. So if you've got roots spreading 18 inches, you want to dig a... spread sideways and down 18 inches, 12, 14 to 18 inches. You want to make that hole, 20 inches wide and maybe 18 inches deep. And then when you put the tree in, you want to have real fine potting mix to put in, and then you work it around. You just don't dump the dirt in because you're going to have air pockets. You want to make sure that you put the best stuff in and work it in with your hands in the roots. And then when you make sure there's no air pockets down there and you got the hole filled up, then you can water in with like Liquinox vitamin B1, which is a root starter. It's not a fertilizer per se, but it's a rooting hormone that just generates energy into the tree roots, and they come out fast and furious, and when you do that, you just don't lose the tree. You don't water it in between with anything else. You don't fertilize it with regular fertilizer. But if you do the B1 a couple of three times, say once a month until, May or something like that, that tree is going, gangbusters. It's going strong.
Nice.
And it really, really does the job. So with the potting mix, the root tone, the B1, you're going to have good survival and maximum growth right off the bat. And like I say, you worked out soil in around the roots. You don't want any air pockets, because an air pocket, you say, well, there's a little air pocket down there. Well, this time of year, it doesn't matter. Come July, August, September, where maybe it's 100 degrees or 105, hot air can get into the cavity that you left where there's room, and it can dry out the roots very quickly and kill the tree.
Interesting.
It, unless it's a bigger tree, but newly planted trees are more susceptible to something like that. Yeah. So it's good stuff. And then, like I say, when you do the B1 thing, you get it going, and then another month you give it another shot, and another month maybe another shot, and it's good. Watch it and see what's happening to it.
Yeah.
So
should be ready to go. We do. Still waiting for you to call.
Yeah, no call. 672-4464.
It is the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Hello there. We're back with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show right here. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
And I've been talking about bare root trees, and there are also bare root shrubs out there from time to time. We don't usually handle bare root shrubs because we like them potted up and they're ready to go right off the bat. Mm. But I want to stress that B1, that vitamin B1. It's good. Mm-hmm. It's a Liquinox product, and it just saves plants. And you give them a good dose of start, and a month later you do another one, and once that plant is growing, then you can apply a regular fertilizer, and be light. Do it lightly, and maybe a couple of times the first year, and maybe twice a year is good enough. Just depends on the type of soil. But the reason I got hooked on the Liquinox B1 stuff years ago, at the beginning of my business career, I was up at the dump up here. It wasn't the landfill or anything. It was called the dump.
The dump.
And you drove up that road, and you pulled into this big old space, and there was a couple of logs there, and you backed up to the logs, and you threw your garbage in, you know.
I remember those days.
And nobody said anything. Nobody was watching you or anything like that. But anyway, it was May Day, full sun, probably 75 degrees, and I backed up to the log, and I'm looking down in there, and I see this bare root tree laying in the dump. Somebody threw it. It looked like a perfectly good tree, except the roots were laying bare in the sun.
I'm thinking,
what the heck? So I actually walked down into the dump, and there was a tag still on it, and it said Kwansan Flowering Cherry. And I went, that's a real pretty cherry, flowering cherry, beautiful, hot pink cherry. And I scratched the bark, and just with my fingernail, and it's still green. And I looked at the ends of the branches, and there was buds, and they were trying to swell and open, but they weren't there yet.
Yeah.
So I picked that puppy up and took it home.
Yeah.
And I thought, somebody threw a perfectly good tree in the dump. What are they, crazy?
Morons.
Morons, I'll tell you what. So I took it home, and I made a nice planting hole for it in my side yard. And put some good soil in there, as good as it wasn't as good as what I talk about now, because I was still experimenting with the soils, but it was doable. It wasn't just black mud or anything like that. And I thought, well, we'll see what happens. So this is a good test for that vitamin B1 stuff, So I dosed it, man. I just give it a shot. And I said, we'll see. And it sat there for a month and no change. But then after that first month, I noticed that the buds were swelling. And that indicates that the roots are alive.
There's
life here. Okay. So I give another shot of B1, double shot. I did double shot. It says, tablespoon per gallon. Well, I was giving it 2 and 3 tablespoons per gallon.
It's either going to make it or kill it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you were in the dump, and now you're in the yard. So you make up your mind, Jack. but nothing else. No fertilizer or extra water, just the B1 stuff. And by mid-May, I guess it was, somewhere in there, It had beautiful pink flowers all over the whole thing. It was gorgeous. And
wow.
Then within a few weeks, there was hundreds of new leaves on it. And I went, whoa, that was good. Now, that was in 1973.
Mm.
Well, the last time I saw the tree was about 25 feet tall and beautiful. And still growing where I planted it in my old house on Leland Street.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Yeah. And it was, like I say, about 25 feet. I didn't stop and go measure it. I just, as I drove by,
yeah.
I thought, man, look at that tree. I saved that from the dump.
And it's still flowering, probably.
Oh, yeah, beautiful.
Wow.
Beautiful. It won't flower for probably another month and a half, but, you know, when it warms up and the sun actually comes out and shines on us, you'll see it. But thanks to Liquinox Start B1, the stuff works.
And the morons that threw it in the dump.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I wonder who did that. You know, and I've planted stuff over the past 50 years, you know, like hundreds of thousands of plants from fuchsias to giant sequoias, and I use B1 on all of them. Mm. And on every landscape job we've ever done here, when we're planting for somebody else, the first thing after it's in the ground, the soil's all ready to go, it's always B1. We always B1 the stuff. And that's why I would say in the total landscapes that we've done over the years, we've had probably less than 1% of people call up and say, oh, my tree died. Or my shrub died, or something like that. Because mm-hmm. I give these lectures to my clients too. If
sure.
you overwater it, you're going to kill it. Don't overwater it. Okay, back off. Leave me alone, Mike.
Back off, Boogaloo.
Yeah, leave me alone. You know. But you know, anything you do with the start, it's like a 99% survival rate. So
nice.
Yeah. And that's the best plant insurance you can get, as long as you don't drown the thing or over-fertilize the thing. Whatever that thing is, a rhododendron or an apple tree, it doesn't matter. You give it some good start when you plant it in good soil, and then, you know, water accordingly throughout the season. Are we done?
We are.
How did that happen?
Ah, boy, it went quick, didn't it?
Thank you for listening. I enjoy doing this show. I hope you enjoy hearing me, okay?
What's on the agenda next time?
I don't know. We're going to probably talk about more trees and stuff and planting and what to look for and in landscaping, and I'll be here. Don't worry. I'm not going to run away and abandon you. Even though I'm, quote, retired, I'm only working half days now.
It is 5 o'clock.